Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Our lives are all about the experiences that we encounter day in and day out. You know, it's like every day, you have good days, you have bad days. Our lives are all about those experiences that we have every day, every night. Some experiences could be really boring, pretty mundane, like doing the dishes or mowing the yard or setting up picnic tables, right? It just doesn't seem like there's much glamour in some of the experiences that we have in our life. And other experiences are once in a lifetime experiences. Once in a lifetime. They'll happen once, probably will never happen again. And Pastor Vicki and I, we had one of those once in a lifetime experiences during our vacation when we were away in Tennessee. And we want to thank you for letting us go and rest and recharge. But we had one of these once in a lifetime moments while we were down in the Smoky Mountains. We took a helicopter ride tour through the Smoky Mountains. It was very, very cool, Pastor Vicki, was it not? It was breathtaking. It was amazing. We've been to the Smoky Mountains dozens of times. It's where we go when we kind of go to unplug. A lot of you have vacation spots that you've gone to in the past or whatnot. But we've been there dozens of times. And when you're down there, every once in a while, you'll see a helicopter fly over. And we've always just kind of looked at each other occasionally when the helicopter flies over. And we've like, we've got to do that sometime. And so we were down there this past, the last week of August. And we saw the helicopter fly over. And we looked at each other and I'm like, why not now? Let's do it. Let's do this. I saved my pennies. We booked the flight. It was a beautiful day. It was crystal clear, blue day when we were out there. And you know what? I think that it was an experience that I will never forget the rest of my life. It was just so kind of awe-inspiring to just kind of see the mountains unfold underneath us and to just to see God's handiwork through all of that. And I would say if you ever get the opportunity to do something like that or some other once-in-a-lifetime experience, if the opportunity comes up, don't be afraid. Do it. Do it. Many people run around, a lot of us run around, especially with social media and just kind of the heightened awareness of what people are doing on Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram out there. We run around in our lives and we don't even realize it, but we're playing this game of fear of missing out. We see other people doing these exciting and glamorous things, and you know, nobody ever takes a picture of setting up picnic tables. Nobody ever posts a picture of doing look at me cleaning the egg from my breakfast out of this pan this morning. That never, ever makes it to Facebook or to Instagram or anything like that. Instead, we do the adventure pictures and it's all smiles and it's all posed and kind of pre-staged. But it creates this sense of fear of missing out. I fear that I'm missing out. Everybody else is having a great time. And we find ourselves stressing in our lives that we're missing out on all the fun. And we find ourselves not only stressed out, but let's be honest, church, sometimes we find ourselves green with envy. We find ourselves envying those who've had the opportunity. And a lot of times it causes us to have our head down. And we find ourselves groaning like Eeyore. Remember Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh? We find ourselves groaning like Eeyore saying, why am I always missing out? You know, and it's just kind of like, oh, I'm missing out on all the fun in life. Well, today, I want to begin a new series of sermons on something incredible that none of us has to miss out on. And something incredible that none of us has to miss out on. And it's something that, in reality, when you compare it to all of the other experiences we have in our life, it eclipses all of the other once-in-a-lifetime experiences that we may have in our journey on this earth. I'm going to spend a little bit of time over the next couple of weeks exploring the meaning of grace. G-R-A-C-E. We're going to explore the meaning of grace. I've been to church all my life. Since I was a little baby, I was raised in the church and have just been in the church all my life. And if there's one concept we may, I think, sometimes overlook or take for granted, it's the concept of grace. We just kind of think that people get what grace is. So I want to take a little bit of time to dig into it. This morning, I want us to turn to Paul's letter in the letter to the Ephesians. That's in your New Testament toward the back of your Bible. It's one of those mini letters that you'll find back there, the letter to the Ephesians. And we'll be using the second chapter of Ephesians this morning as the starting point for our exploration for this concept of grace. Grace in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we find Paul writing to the church. He says, "As for you, church, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, every single one of us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The word of the Lord this morning. When we think about the concept of grace, there's a ton that we can consider. And we're not going to be able to cover it all this moment in time, this morning. We're just going to begin to start scratching the surface of this morning. Today, I want to laser focus in on just one aspect of grace. And we'll build on this in the weeks to come. Today, I want to take a few moments to focus on the reality that grace is our salvation. Grace is our salvation. Without grace, we'd be dead on arrival. Amen. The scripture, it says it right there. We'd be flatlined, dead on arrival. Paul tells the Ephesians here in chapter 2 of his letter that without grace, we may think we're living, but in reality, spiritually, we are lifeless. We are dead. Pastor Vicky and I, we were sightseeing and we were antiquing and shopping down in Pigeon Forge and the Gatlinburg area while we were on vacation. That's one of the things that we like to do. One store, we come up upon a display, and it was a couple of mannequins out in front of this display, kind of dressed and posed out front. And kind of at first, I was startled. I thought they were real people. I mean, they were, you know, just looked like really skinny, nicely dressed people. In this display, they had apparel and they were dressed like real people. They had the posture of real people in a store, just kind of hanging out in that space. But they were dead. They were lifeless. They were mannequins. They had no breath in them, no life in them, no blood flowing before them. That's really the way we are spiritually before we allow Christ to enter into our hearts. We are lifeless. We look alive like people. We're dressed like it. We dress the part. Sometimes we even assume the posture of living people. And in the church, sometimes we assume the posture of living people who look all polished up and nice, like nice little Christians. Even in the church. But in reality, when you peel back the appearances, and when we peek inside the depths of our hearts and our souls, we're like those mannequins. Lifeless. No life. Yes, we're physically alive. Eating, drinking, existing, but spiritually empty, lifeless, powerless. Even though we're disobedient to God's ways, even though we're focused on self-gratification, even though we're focused on the ways of this world, even though, as the scripture says, we are dead in our transgressions, God has made it possible. This should make us excited. God has made it possible for us to be made alive spiritually through His Son, Jesus Christ. God has made it possible for us to be made alive in Christ. And you know, I just get amazed at how we worship the church of college football on Saturday and the church of NFL football on Sunday. We get jazzed up, and I'm one of those people. You know, I told Pastor Vicky I wasn't going to watch the football game yesterday afternoon. Guess what? I watched it. And guess what I did last night? I watched another football game. I love college football. And you watch these stands get full of people, and they get jacked up and excited, and they wear their shirts and jerseys, and they paint their faces, and they stand up, and they scream and yell, and they make noise for not 10 minutes, but for 4 straight hours, especially in close games. And then we get in church on Sunday morning. And when we preach the gospel and we preach the truth about the saving grace of Jesus,
we're not excited.
God has made it possible for us to be made alive, church. He has made it possible for us to come to life. Our disobedience toward God, our sinfulness that we were born into, has been forgiven. This is the good news. This is the good news. So, this morning, what is grace? Grace, it's really simple. It's like the cancellation of a large debt that's been owed, even when the cancellation isn't deserved. I found myself getting a little upset about student loan debt forgiveness over the past couple of weeks with that topic in the news, and the Lord really checked me, you know? And the Lord really checked me on it. I found myself just getting kind of upset because in my heart, I was thinking that cancellation of that debt's not deserved. But guess what? That's exactly what Jesus has done for us. He has canceled the large debt that's owed even when the cancellation isn't earned. It's not about public policy, folks. It's about forgiveness. That's what grace is. Grace is like being rescued from certain doom. It's like all of these floods that hit Kentucky a couple of weeks ago. You remember that in the middle of the summer? All the water came down, 5 inches of rain in a couple of hours, and the hollows and the valleys were flooded. People were stranded on their roofs of their houses. And they had no way to get away from the water, and helicopters and boats had to come in to rescue them and take them to safety. What is grace? Grace is being rescued from the floodwaters, even when maybe the rescue isn't deserved. You had neighbors helping neighbors who maybe prior to the flood didn't necessarily even like each other. But they did the right thing because they were saving human lives. That's what grace is like. Grace is salvation. Grace is rescue. Grace is cancellation of that debt, even when it's not deserved. That's what God has done for us. Grace is our forgiveness. Grace is our rescue. Grace is our salvation. Paul said, "It is by grace you have been saved." The loving, wonderful, liberating grace extended to you and I by the God of the universe. It's yours for the taking. We are all dead on arrival. We are all dead on arrival in our sin, but God has made it possible for us to be made alive in Christ. This is the good news of the Bible. This is the good news of Christ, the gospel news of our deliverer. And we have become so numbed by the things that these world, so numbed by the things of this world, that when we even think about grace, our hearts aren't even stirred anymore. Grace. It is by grace that we're saved. It is by grace that we're made alive in Christ. But friends, I want us to also realize this morning, it is by grace we are saved, but only if we accept that grace.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
Grace extended is not necessarily grace received. We must personally accept the grace that God has extended to us by faith. How many of us, within the word, within the hearing of my words this morning, how many of us will miss out on this once in a lifetime opportunity? Because we were just too stubborn, or because we just weren't focused on it at the time. It was just something on our list that we'll kind of kick down the road and we'll deal with it later. September 11th is a great reminder that we don't know what's going to happen later today. We need to embrace grace in our lives. How many of us will miss out because we deferred and delayed, procrastinated? How many of us glory in the thought of grace? Oh, it's wonderful. But we fail to ever personally receive it in our hearts, in our lives. Personally receive this great, unexpected, undeserved gift from the Creator of the universe through whose Son, who bled and died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, rose again, and reigns in heaven on the throne this morning. Wouldn't it be a shame to come all this way on our journey through all these experiences in our lives, knowing about grace, but falling short when we get to the end because we've never really accepted grace by faith personally in our own heart? What a tragedy. What a tragedy. We fail to accept grace because the enemy whispers in our ears. You know, Paul's talking about the spirit of the air. He's talking about the spirit of the air to the church in this letter to the Ephesians. The enemy, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, the enemy of your soul is whispering lies into your thought life and into the ears of your heart. And maybe the enemy's saying, grace, glory, that's all great, but you're unsavable. The enemy will say, you've done too many bad things. You'll never be worthy. The enemy says, your sins, you're unforgivable. What you've done, you've gone too far. You're not worthy to be saved. You're not worthy to be forgiven. And the enemy will whisper these lies into our hearts. And sometimes the enemy will whisper these lies into our hearts through poor influences in our life, through media we watch, or books that we read, or things that we consume, whispering these lies into our hearts, saying, you're not good enough. All lies. It's like, anybody like a parade? Who likes a parade? Anybody like a parade? I mean, come on. They do the motorcycle parade for the toys, for the kids that's coming up here, right? You know, we all love parades. We love the 4th of July parade, Labor Day parade. You know, Memorial Day parade, the homecoming parade, you name it, we make parades up for everything. It's like the grace parade is marching down the street of our life, you know? It's like the marching band is playing Amazing Grace and all the grace hymns that you can think of. They're marching, the drums are beating. The grace parade is marching in front of the street of our life, and we're sitting there on the curb, and I don't know how many of you do it, but I got my chair out in the car, and I bring it from the trunk, and I set it up. It's the chair I use for the baseball games and the soccer games and maybe to fish in. I set my chair up on the curb, and the grace parade's watching. There goes the marching band. There goes the Sunday school float, and there goes the King's Warriors float and the Grace Parade. I'm watching the Grace Parade pass by in my life, and we sit there. We enjoy the spectacle, watching the opportunity as it passes by in our life. And then all of a sudden, it's like at the end of the parade, the big float's coming. And there's on this big float at the end of this parade, it's like got this big gold throne on it. Can you imagine it in your mind? There's a tractor, there's a John Deere tractor in front of it hauling it. Okay? Or maybe this big float at the end of it, it's big enough that an 18-wheeler, a semi-tractor trailer is hauling it down with a flatbed truck. And on this flatbed is this big gold throne, and it's got all sorts of cool heavenly things around it. And in that chair, instead of Santa Claus on his sleigh at the end of the Thanksgiving parade, in this parade, there's Jesus. He's sitting on that throne, on that grace float. And Jesus, you know, everybody as they go by, they're waving and they're hooting and hollering like it's a college baseball game because they've embraced grace. They've embraced it. The bands are playing, the music's going on. Everybody's waving and hollering and throwing candy for the kids, right? We like that. Some of you adults are picking some of that candy up too. Don's probably filling his bag with it. And here comes Jesus on the grace float. And Jesus is the only one in the parade who's not hooting and hollering and celebrating. You know what Jesus is doing? Jesus is not waving. Jesus is begging for you to get on board. Come on up. Get on the float. Get in the parade. Stop watching. Don't miss it. Get on board. Personally. Church, don't miss this morning. We can't work off our debt. We can't work it off. You have to have faith that God forgives the debt. Faith that no matter what I've done, God forgives. God cancels the debt. God redeems us whole. You can't earn your way to salvation. I don't care how many things you do in the church. I don't care how many committees you've served on. I don't care how many times you've come to Sunday school or to church service on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and past years of your life. You can't earn God's grace. You just have to have faith in your heart that Jesus saves. Faith as small as a mustard seed, he said. Just have faith. Even though you can't seem to see it, you just have to have faith that His forgiveness and His grace is real personally in your life for anything you've ever done, and that He is extending that grace to you. Jump on the float, church. Get up on board that 18-wheeler flatbed as it's gone down the road. Take Jesus' hand as He lifts you up. Accept His grace by faith. Here's the beauty about grace. Yes, grace is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We all need to have that moment where we know in our lives that we had faith in Jesus and Jesus saves us personally by His grace. Amen? But sometimes we live as like, oh yeah, I accepted Jesus back 25 years ago. What a great, wonderful parade experience. But folks, we haven't been to a parade in years. We haven't been moved to shout like we're at a football game because of the grace of Jesus in decades. Yes, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It is a once-in-a-lifetime decision. But here's the funny thing about grace that I want to leave you with this morning. Once we accept God's saving grace, it is something we can re-experience fresh and new every single day of our lives. If our lives are defined by the experiences that we encounter along the way, let them be defined by the saving grace of Jesus Christ today. Fresh, new acceptance of His grace, which never ends. It's always flowing, and it will never be outdone by the supply of sin out there, the demand of sin. There's plenty of grace. His grace is greater than all our sin put together. Amen. Let our days be defined by accepting every single day the saving grace of Jesus. Riding in that helicopter, that was fun. That was a good time. That was a once in a lifetime breathtaking opportunity. Very little chance I'll do that again. Okay? We did that, well, that one day, and boy, it went by fast, didn't it? It just, the experience, it was just explosive and incredible and powerful. But very little chance. I'll do that again. I have pictures. I have dozens of pictures. I have video that we took while we were on this ride. I'll be glad to show you after church at the picnic. Just come over and I'll show you my pictures. Pastor Vicky and I, we share some memories and experiences of that together. We were sitting right there together in the helicopter. Pastor Vicky texted the boys up in Ohio before we left saying, hey, we're going on a helicopter ride. If we don't come back, Pep's in the crate and she needs to be let out to pee. We have pictures. I thought it was pretty funny too. That literally happened. That's not like an embellishment. That really happened. We have pictures. We have shared memories of that day. But that's all we have. Worldly experiences evaporate like mist. They come and they go. As a matter of fact, remember how we opened the service and we had that experience we shared about 9/11? It's gone. It'll never happen again. We'll never recognize the 21st anniversary of 9/11 ever again. Can you believe it's been 21 years? Thank God that that moment in time has evaporated and we've moved on. Worldly experiences, even the washing of the dishes and the doing the laundry, the non-exciting things, they evaporate. They just evaporate like dust. But experiencing the saving grace of Jesus is something that we can experience fresh and new every single day that we wake up. Every single day that we wake up and draw breath, we can experience and accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ in our lives. How can we experience this grace in our life? Every day, embrace the gift of grace. Join the parade. Be on the float. Get on board. Embrace grace. Embrace it with thanksgiving. You know, embrace grace with thanksgiving in our heart. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I don't know why you love me, Lord, but I'm really thankful for your grace. I'm thankful for your grace. Embrace it with thanksgiving. Also, how can we embrace grace in our life? We live a life that is worthy of the price that has been paid for us. Live a life that is worthy of that grace. When I was a kid, and I want to rewind the tape for all of us, and Pat, this is where the food comes in. I want to rewind the tape for all of us, and sitting at that breakfast table, we were always memorized in the Case household by the contest on the back of the cereal box. Now, as we've gotten into the 20s and the 20-aughts and back in the 2000s and even in the 1990s, they kind of switched from contests for the most part to educational material on the back of the cereal box, at least the type of cereal that I saw. But when I was eating Trix, when I was a little boy growing up, you could win a Corvair. All right? You could win a Corvair, or you could win some sort of toy or something like that. There was always a great offer, a really great prize to be won, offered on the back of that cereal box. They knew how to sell cereal back in my day, Chuck. But in order to get it, you had to buy another box of cereal. All right? In order to get it, you had to mail in not one, not two, but like 5 or 10 box tops or proof of purchase. For that box of cereal, you bought the cereal. You cut out the proof of purchase. Doggone it, you like took your scissors and you cut out that little form on the back and you took a pen or a pencil and tried to write on cardboard and it never worked. Try to get it all on there, name Joey Case, and you know, you just get it all down there, 407 Virginia Avenue, Troy, Ohio. I might even put my phone number on there just in case they need to call me. And you get that all wrapped up in an envelope and you send it to the address and you just hope that you win that prize. I never won. But that's kind of what grace is like though. You know, in grace, when it comes to grace though, there's no proof of purchase coupon that you get when you accept Jesus into your heart. It doesn't come in a box. Here, have salvation. Maybe it would be easier that way if we just handed it out in boxes or something like that. There's no proof of purchase coupon. You don't get a paper receipt. Tell you what, we were on vacations. I got a lot of receipts. Got a lot of receipts. Oh, my goodness. Pray for us. We don't get a proof of purchase certificate. We don't get a receipt. There's not a box top. We simply have faith that Jesus saves us. He saves us. And the proof of purchase doesn't come from him in the mail. The proof of purchase that we have grace, what does it look like? How we live our lives becomes the proof of purchase when it comes to grace. Do our lives reflect the grace of Jesus Christ alive? And do the words we choose to say in those conversations, do the thoughts and attitudes, do the things that we put on our calendar, the things that we spend our money on, do those things reflect proof of purchase of grace in our lives, in our hearts? What is grace? Grace is a once-in-a-lifetime gift that we can experience every day.
Amen.
Don't miss that. Grace is a once-in-a-lifetime gift that we can experience every single day. No fear of missing out. Not just a photograph. Not just something that happens that evaporates into the mist. Grace is something that can be fresh and new every single day as we experience it. It's something we don't want to take for granted and miss. Grace is our salvation. Grace is our salvation, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Grace is salvation.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.